I was told that we forgot to make one announcement, and that is that this coming Saturday at 6 p.m. is our Euchre tournament. For those of you who enjoy that, it's $4 and prizes awarded. Bring a snack and enjoy yourself just for fun. Don't have to be an expert. Novices welcome. So I was told that I would be in trouble if I didn't announce that. I heard a story from a guy who's an IT consultant. In other words, he's a computer consultant for companies. A shepherd was looking after a sheep one day on the side of a deserted road, and this guy screeches to a halt in a BMW. He jumps out. Young guy, he's dressed in a fancy suit, Rolex watch, and he says to the shepherd, "If I could tell you exactly how many sheep you have here, will you give me one of them?" The shepherd looks out over his huge flock and he says, "Okay, I guess so." The guy connects his laptop to his cell phone, enters a NASA website, does a GPS scan on the ground, puts it into a database with Excel tables filled with logarithms and pivot tables, and then prints out a report on his high-tech mini printer. And then he says to the shepherd, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep here." The shepherd was surprised, and he said, "You're right." He says, "Okay, you can have a sheep." So the young guy puts an animal into his BMW. He's getting ready to drive off, and then the shepherd says, "Oh, by the way, if I can tell you what your profession is, can I have my animal back?" The young guy says, "Okay." The shepherd says, "You're an IT consultant." And the guy says, "How did you know that?" He says, "Well, you showed up without being called. You charged me a fee for something that I already knew. And you know nothing about my business. Now, can I have my dog back?" I know we have some IT consultants in here, which makes this especially enjoyable for me. We're starting a new series focused on Jesus. Today we're looking at John 10, verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd was so good that he would even lay down his life to save us. Now, the fact that he said, "I am the good shepherd," implies that there are others that are not good. And in fact, Jesus does more than imply that. He tells us in verse 1 of the same chapter, here's what he said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber." He's talking about our spiritual enemy, Satan, who is the ultimate thief and robber. And Jesus told us clearly the mission of our spiritual enemy. John 10:10, he said, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life." Satan hates God, he hates God's people, and his mission is to steal and kill and destroy anything that is precious to God. And obviously, Satan is a very hard worker, because if you just look around this world, you see all kinds of stealing, killing, and destroying. Plus, everywhere around you, people are sick, families falling apart, marriages in trouble, kids making bad decisions. That is the thief's purpose. What is Jesus' purpose? To give them a rich and satisfying life. Other translations say his desire is that you have life in the fullest, or abundant life. That's what Jesus wants for you. And so again, Jesus is the good shepherd. And who are we in this metaphor? We are the sheep. Sheep are the most commonly mentioned animals in the Bible. They're mentioned about 200 times. As a comparison, dogs are mentioned 40 times in the Bible. Anybody want to guess how many times are cats mentioned in the Bible? Yeah, it would be exactly zero. The closest it comes to mentioning a cat is it mentions a lion, which of course is in the cat family, and it talks about Satan prowling around like a roaring lion. So you see the direct connection between Satan and cats. Just saying. Fortunately, we are not cats. We are sheep. Unfortunately, that's not really that good of news, because sheep are some of the stupidest animals on planet Earth. Think about it. You go to a circus, you see the trained animals, you see trained elephants, you see trained horses, you see trained dogs. You know, you can even go to a flea circus. But one thing you will never, ever see in a circus is a sheep, right? Because sheep are too stupid. They can't be trained. About the only way to make a sheep play dead is to shoot them. And that trick only works one time. So they're incredibly stupid creatures. God says, all of us are like sheep. Isn't that interesting? It sort of implies that you and I and everybody else are stupid, which explains to me why this world is such a mess right now, but I digress. Jesus is the good shepherd. We are sheep. Let me give you four challenges of being a sheep. The first one is this. Sheep get lost easily. When police are hunting down escape criminals, do they call out the tracking sheep? No. They don't do that. They use dogs, not sheep. Why? Because dogs can find things. Sheep, not so much. In fact, sheep are really good at one thing, and that is at getting lost. That's why Isaiah 53 says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Sheep are really good at going astray and getting lost. That's just what sheep do. It's very common for sheep to wander out of the sheepfold and say, you know, I think I'll go this way because I think there's something over there that might make me happy. You know, and I really think it'll make me happy, and the grass looks greener over there, and so sheep don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about the consequences of their decisions, right? They just wander away, they go astray, and get lost because they're bad decisions. Now, the reality is that's where many of us are right now. We're trying to find happiness. We see something over there that we think will make us happy. We're sure that it'll make us happy. And you know, I just need to buy that or do that. Or I need to be in this kind of relationship or get out of this kind of relationship. Or I need to look like this or own that. And you know, then I'll be happy, 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 right? But we make a lot of bad decisions that we think will make us happy, but they don't actually work out in the long run. You ever notice that? And we do that because we're sheep. And sheep without a shepherd get lost very easily. Now, the second thing about sheep is that sheep are defenseless. Almost every animal has some kind of defense. A cat will claw you. Dogs and snakes will bite you. A bee will sting. Some animals have horns. Some can kick. Some can fly away. You know, even a harmless rabbit can run fast enough. That's their defense. Sheep can't do anything. They're defenseless. Bad joke coming. Here's a warning. What do sheep do when they're attacked? They go, back off. All right. I told you it was bad. I'll be here all morning. Sheep are defenseless. Let me tell you. You are a sheep, and on your own, you are defenseless. Without the body of Christ, without the armor of God, without the protection of the good shepherd, you are defenseless. You are completely open to the lies and attacks of the evil one. On our own, people are like lost, defenseless sheep. We start to believe the enemy's lies, that we start to wander away into paths that lead to destruction and death, because sheep on their own are defenseless. Number three, sheep are stubborn. Sheep are not only stupid, but they're stubborn and stupid. I did some study on sheep this past week. Whenever a pregnant ewe goes into labor, she immediately sits down. But if she happens to be facing downhill at the time, then she'll sit down going downhill, and she will stay in that direction, fighting against gravity to try and push the lamb out of her womb. And if nobody helps her, she will die in that position. Unless somebody helps her turn around or forces her to turn around, because sheep are stubborn. Now, here's audience participation time. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know what? I think Ken is talking about you. You know, you're kind of like a sheep. You're stubborn. You know, go ahead. Some of you are not doing the audience participation because you're stubborn. In fact, I read that whenever sheep walk between two rocks and it's too narrow and they get stuck, they will not back up. You will never see a sheep going, beep, 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 you know, I'm backing up. No, because they're stubborn. They just keep struggling forward, wedging themselves in even tighter. You ever seen any Anybody you know that's like that? Maybe you know somebody right now, and they're going forward in a certain wrong direction. Now they're stuck. But are they going to admit it and back up and turn around and go the other direction? No, they're not going to admit it because they're stubborn sheep. Anybody know somebody like that? Don't point at them. Sheep are stubborn and stupid, like the girl that goes, you know, why do I always get the bad guys? You know, why do the bad guys always come after me? And you want to say, well, honey, you know, maybe you're fishing with the wrong bait, you know. Or somebody that says, you know, I never have any money. I'm always broke. I don't know why I don't ever have any money. You know, why don't we go to the mall and talk about it? Sheep are stubborn and stupid. Number four, sheep are filthy. A lot of other animals know how to clean themselves. Sheep do not. You say, well, Ken, I saw this fluffy white sheep on TV. Believe me, before the show, they were power washed. Okay? Because sheep don't have the capability to clean themselves. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but we are sheep, and we are filthy on our own without God. Isaiah 53 says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him, or Jesus, the sins of us all. Some translations say the iniquity of us all. In the eyes of a perfect God, we are full of sin and iniquity. We are filthy in the eyes of a perfect, holy God. Without a good shepherd to wash us clean, we're in huge trouble. The bottom line is this: we're sheep, we need a good shepherd who can guide us when we're lost, who can defend us against attacks, who can give us wisdom to make good decisions, and save us from our sin. And that's why it is such good news when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm so good a shepherd that I even lay down my life to save my sheep. Now, I want to spend the rest of the time this morning talking about what does a good shepherd do? According to the Bible, what does Jesus do that makes him our good shepherd? And the first thing that he does is he guides. The good shepherd guides the sheep. In fact, let me ask you, what decision are you trying to make right now? What is it that you really are pondering and contemplating? You just don't know the right answer. What is it? Jesus says to you this morning, listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Follow me, and I will guide you. Here's what Jesus says in John 10, verse 3. The gatekeeper, opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep do what? Recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Jesus guides his sheep so that they have nothing to worry about. Why don't they worry? Because they recognize his voice, the voice of the good shepherd. And when you recognize his voice and you know that he's leading and you're following, then you have nothing to worry about. You can have absolute confidence as you start out each day because you know that you're being guided and led by the good shepherd. He's guiding you every step of the way. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't really know the voice of God, or I don't really recognize, you know, when God is speaking to me, or at least some of the time, I just really can't tell, I'm not sure about it. Well, there are only two possible reasons why you would not recognize the voice of your good shepherd. We're going to talk about those in just a second, but first, just very quickly, for those of you who aren't used to listening to the voice of God, how does God speak to us? Very quickly, he speaks through his written word. As you read the Bible, sometimes verses will like jump off the pages, and you know, it's like, oh man, that's what I need to know, or that's what God is saying to me right now. They'll convict you, and you know God is speaking to you. God also speaks by impressions of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes as you're praying or worshiping, or maybe just, you know, in the middle of the day, you're walking along or talking to somebody else, and a thought or impression will come to you from the Holy Spirit, and that is God speaking to you. And if you recognize his voice, then you'll know that that's God. God can also speak through people. He can speak through Bible teachers. He can speak through prophetic messages. There's many, many different ways that God can talk to you. And the sheep who belong to him know his voice and recognize his voice. Now, as I said, if you don't know his voice, there's only two possible reasons why. And let me use an illustration to show this. Imagine that I blindfolded you, and I sent you into a room with 50 women who are all talking. Because, of course, that's what women do. They talk all the time. If I sent you into a room with 50 men, they wouldn't be talking. They'd be watching the game. But, you go into a room with 50 women. They're all talking. And I said, okay, you're blindfolded. I want you to find my wife, Kathy, by the sound of her voice. Well, some of you say, well, Ken, there is no possible way I could do that because I've never even met your wife, Kathy. I don't know what her voice sounds like. How could I find her, you know, just by the sound of her voice? Others of you might say, well, you know, I have met Kathy, and, you know, I've talked to her a little bit, but, you know, I haven't talked to her that much. I don't know the sound of her voice that well. In a room with 50 women in it, I really am not sure that I could pick out, you know, Kathy just by the sound of her voice. And so those are the only two reasons that you could not find her, is either you never met her, you don't know her at all, or you just haven't talked to her enough, haven't gotten to know her well enough so that you can really recognize her voice. Now, if I walked in that room with blindfold on, 50 women there talking, it would be very easy for me because I've been listening to Kathy talk for 32 years now. I've been talking with her, and I wasn't trying to be funny there or else I'd be in big trouble after. But I know her voice well enough. It'd be easy for me, right? It is exactly the same with our Good Shepherd. The only two possible reasons why you wouldn't recognize his voice is, number one, you've never met him. You don't know him. Or, number two, you have met him, but you really haven't spent enough time listening to his voice, listening and conversing and spending time with him. You just haven't spent enough time, and so you're really not sure what his voice sounds like. Those are the only two reasons. But when you do spend enough time with him, then you will absolutely recognize his voice, because not only does he talk to you, but it says he calls you by name. This is personal. Notice in the last verse, he says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. God doesn't just have this huge flock of nameless sheep, and he says, hey, you, come over here. No, he knows you personally, he calls you by name, and he wants you to follow him as he leads you personally. This is something where he cares about and loves and knows you personally, calls you by name. He wants that relationship with you. So the Good Shepherd guides. The second thing the Good Shepherd does is he provides. In Psalm 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Notice, he makes me lie down in green pastures. How often do you see a sheep lying down? Some of you say, well, Ken, I don't see sheep at all. You know, which, okay, yeah, I can understand that. If you did see sheep all the time, you wouldn't see them lying down very much, because there are three things that have to happen before a sheep lies down. Number one, they have to be well fed or they won't lie down. Number two, they have to be getting along with the other sheep. In other words, no conflict going on or they won't lie down. Number three, they have to feel safe or they won't lie down. But in the presence of the Good Shepherd who leads them to the green pastures, they are full, they are at peace, and they are safe. And so they can lie down and rest in the green pastures. Think of your own spiritual condition right now. Are you full? Are you full? Do you feel like you have that abundant life, that rich and satisfying life, and you're content with God's blessings on you? Are you at peace with those around you? Are you holding on to bitterness against anybody else? And do you feel safe? In other words, you're not worrying every day about how are things going to go or what's going to happen or my future or whatever. You feel safe. If you're in the presence of your Good Shepherd, if you're following his voice, then you will be full, at peace, and safe. And it goes on to say, he leads me beside quiet waters. Why quiet waters? Well, because if it's rushing waters, the sheep won't drink. Why? Because sheep are not the most nimble creatures. And if the sheep falls into the rushing water, then they become like a huge giant cotton ball washing down the river. And so the Good Shepherd leads them beside quiet waters. Now, I don't know about you, but if I don't have some quiet time on a regular basis with my living water, with Jesus, then, you know, if I'm rushing around all the time, I get stressed out. I am not good for anything. My day goes badly. You know, it's because I'm a sheep, and I need quiet waters to drink from. And then the Bible says, he refreshes my soul. The good shepherd doesn't just provide for you materially. He doesn't just provide for your bodies. He provides for your soul as well. He refreshes your soul. Some of you right now, you've got everything that you need on the outside. You're well provided for in material things. You're all set. But inwardly, your soul is not at rest. Inwardly, you are not content. Your soul is not refreshed. You know, it's amazing that when you're a sheep under the care of the Good Shepherd, when you're listening to his voice, you're following him, then all sorts of outward circumstances can be falling apart. Everything around you can be going wrong. But inwardly, you have this supernatural peace. And it's because your Good Shepherd is refreshing your soul, regardless of what's happening around you. So the Good Shepherd guides and the Good Shepherd provides. The third thing the Good Shepherd does is he corrects. Sheep need to be corrected because they do dumb things. You know, somebody was telling me just before the service that there's something that's called a sheep circle, where sheep, if they come across a car in a road, they will start circling around it, and then there's each one is just following the one in front of them, and so they kind of don't even realize that they're circling, and even if the car starts to try to move, they'll just follow the car and circle around it. You know, sheep are dumb. You know, there was a news report in the Washington Post called Sheep in Mass Euicide. Funny headline, I thought. But the article read, shepherds eating breakfast outside the town of Geves, Turkey, were surprised to see a lone sheep jump off of a nearby cliff and fall to its death. They were stunned, however, when the rest of the nearly 1,500 sheep in the herd followed, each leaping off of the same cliff. When it was all over, the local Axum newspaper reported that 450 of the sheep perished in a billowy white pile. Those that jumped from the middle and end of the herd were saved as the pile became higher and the fall more cushioned. This is not a joke. This is absolutely true. The estimated loss of the families of Geves tops $100,000, an extremely significant amount of money in a country where the average person earns about $2,700 annually. So you have this huge catastrophe that happened for one reason. It's because those sheep didn't have a good shepherd nearby to correct them when they started doing stupid things. The shepherds were off eating breakfast by themselves. They were too far away. Fortunately, you have a good shepherd who is always with you and is always ready to correct you. Now, we don't always think that's a very comforting thought, that our shepherd is ready to correct us, you know, especially if we're wandering off in our own direction. In fact, Job knew this very well. Look at Job 5:17. He says, blessed are those whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. It says, you're blessed when God corrects you. Now, do you feel blessed at the time? No, generally not. People are generally not saying, wow, I am so blessed. God loves me so much that he's correcting me and disciplining me. Isn't this great? No, we don't say that. Job goes on, do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. What an interesting picture. What is this talking about? I was reading that what some loving shepherds would do is, if they had a lamb that was constantly wandering off and endangering itself, the shepherd would take his rod, which is basically a club, and he would crack the leg of the lamb. It sounds cruel, but then the good shepherd would take that lamb, put it around his shoulders, and take care of him, nurse him, keep the lamb close to him, and by the time the lamb's leg healed up, the lamb had learned to know the shepherd's voice, learned to trust the shepherd, and become completely dependent on that shepherd, and so it would never run away again because it had learned to know the voice and trust the shepherd's voice. That's a picture of the discipline of God. He wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. Sometimes God has to bring painful things into our lives so that we will learn to know his voice, to trust him, and to do what's right, so we don't wander into things that are maybe even worse for us. Now, here's the problem. As I approach this whole area of discipline, you know, when it comes to discipline from God, how do you know if it's discipline from God? Or if maybe you're just having a bad day? You ever wondered that? You know, you have some circumstance, my car broke down, or I got a flu bug, or you know, my friend said something that hurt me, or my dog ate my new shoes and then threw up on the carpet. You know, I'm having a horrible day, you know, but is it God's discipline on me, or is it just a bad day, right? How do you know? And for most of my life up till now, I could never really tell whether it was discipline from God or not, and so I would just assume that it never was discipline from God. I just assume, oh, you know, this is life, and, you know, bad things happen, and I would never even consider that it was God's discipline. Then one day, I started to really think about this area and study the Bible and get into this whole area, and I realized I'd been doing exactly the wrong thing. Instead of never even considering that it might be discipline and just assuming that none of it is discipline, I should be assuming that all of it is God's discipline. Everything that goes badly or is painful in my life, everything, God is using it all to help me grow. Why? Because he loves me. Now, that may be a strange thought to you. There's several reasons for this. First, though God doesn't cause evil, and he doesn't cause all the bad things in your life, he is in control of it all. He's in control of it all. And so he has to allow them into your life or my life, or if he doesn't allow it, it's not going to happen, right? Second, discipline is not the same as punishment. This is not talking about God punishing me because he's angry at me, or punishing me even necessarily because I've done something wrong. No, this is discipline to help me grow because he loves me. And third, the Bible tells us very bluntly that all problems are an opportunity for growth. James 1 verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That means like all the problems you have, many kinds of trials, everything in your life that's painful, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Trials of many kinds, all the painful things, they all test my faith to help me grow. So that means that when problems happen to us, when difficulties come along, a painful situation, my first response should be to assume, oh, of course, this is discipline from God. It's part of God's plan to help me grow because he loves me so much. And so what question do I ask? I ask, God, what do you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow from this situation? That's the question I ask every time. It doesn't mean that I don't pray that God will take it away, or that God, please fix this, please heal this, you know, let me overcome this. Of course I pray those things, yes. But I also ask, God, how do you want me to grow through this? And I just assume that all the problems in my life are part of God's plan to help me grow. He doesn't necessarily cause them. Usually it's a matter of my own stupid mistakes or consequences of things that I've done. You know, or maybe it's just neglect. If you don't change the oil in your car, you know, eventually it's going to break down and you'll have problems. Now, did God cause those problems? No. My own neglect did, but you know, God can use those problems to help me grow. If I walk in the door at night and start yelling at my wife, you know, I'm going to have problems. Now, did God cause those problems? No, I did. But God can use those problems as discipline to help me grow. And the key is he does it because he loves me so much. Hebrews 12:5 says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. If he doesn't love you, then don't worry. You don't have to worry about discipline from him. You won't get any if he doesn't love you. But he loves us all in this room. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his child. Endure hardship as discipline. There it is right there. Endure hardship as discipline. When hardship comes into your life, you just assume, oh, of course, it's discipline from God. God, how do you want me to grow through this? Now, when the hardships come and when problems come and painful times come, nobody is going, oh, I am so glad that God has helped me to grow. You know, I'm so glad. God, sock it to me. This is going to be good. No, nobody does that. In fact, James goes on, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Our good shepherd wants to produce in you and me a harvest of righteousness and peace. That's the purpose behind the discipline. He is so loving, he loves us even enough to correct us. And so he guides, he provides, he corrects. Finally, our good shepherd protects. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or other translations say the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Because my good shepherd is with me, I don't have to fear anything. When he's with me, my soul is at rest. When he's with me, I know that he's working all things to bring about good. My good shepherd protects me. Now, this doesn't mean that you will never be physically harmed, or that you'll never get sick, that you'll never die. Obviously, those things still happen, even when you're trusting your good shepherd. What this does mean is that God protects you absolutely from the enemy, who, as we saw earlier, wants to steal and kill and destroy. Absolutely, you are protected. The enemy has no power over you. You are completely protected from him when you're following your good shepherd. Your present walk with God is protected, and your future inheritance with God is protected. There's nothing Satan can do when you're following the good shepherd. Now, we're going to close in just a minute, but let's look at one more verse, Luke 15, 4. Jesus says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Jesus says that to the good shepherd, each sheep is so important that he will even leave 99 to go search and find the one. Listen, there may be somebody here in this room this morning. You're the one. You're the one. In fact, this whole message has been for you, not for the 99, but for the one, because Jesus loves you so much. He wants you to know him. He is coming to find you. He wants you to know that he will do anything he can to save you and to bring you home. And if you feel like right now, wow, you know, God has been sort of speaking to me in this message this morning, there's a reason behind that. It's because he is speaking directly to you. You're the one. You're the lost sheep. He's coming to find you. He's coming to take you home to save you. One time a drama professor was teaching his class, and he chose the 23rd Psalm as his dramatic reading. He said, we're going to all practice reading this today in class. He said, I'll go first. He started out, did it just a brilliant job. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He went through the whole thing. It was so brilliant. Everybody applauded at the end. Then he pointed to a kid in the front row, and he said, okay, why don't you try it? And this kid that he pointed to was one of the quietest students there. Everybody knew he was a Christian, but he was really nervous about speaking in front of people. So this Christian kid stood up in front of the class, scared to death. But as he started reading the words, they came to life. He remembered all that Jesus had done for him. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he started remembering all the ways that God had led him and cared for him and taken care of when he was in need. And his voice was just full of awe and gratitude. And then he got to the part about, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. And he remembered all the times that Jesus had been with him, even through the dark valleys and the difficult times. And you know, he could barely get through it through the tears. And when he got done, nobody applauded, because everyone was overcome with emotion. There wasn't a dry eye in the classroom. The professor said, well, there you have it. I know the psalm, but this kid knows the shepherd. This kid knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? Are you the one that he's seeking for this morning? The good shepherd's coming to find you. He wants to take you home with him. because he loves you so much. There is one that is not good. There is one that seeks to steal and kill and destroy. But the good shepherd came that you may have a rich, satisfying life. He loved you so much that he laid down his own life so that you could come home with him, that you could know his love and follow your good shepherd. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like our worship band to come up for a closing song. As they come up, let's bow together in prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for being our good shepherd. We pray that you'll help us to listen to your voice and to follow you so that you can continually guide us, provide for us, and correct us and protect us. God, for those of us who don't yet know your voice, would you help us to learn it by spending time with you? For those of us who do know your voice, would you help us to hear more clearly and to follow your lead and to trust you so that we can be at rest in our souls? We confess this morning that we need you, Jesus, to be our good shepherd. Now, as we continue praying, there may be some of you here this morning that would say, God, you know, I've been kind of wandering. I've been looking for something that would fill up the emptiness of my life, and I've messed up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you lead the 99 to go seek for the one. Because that's me. I'm the one. I need you as my shepherd. Just pray along with me in your heart right now. God will hear you. Just say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again so that I could live for you. I give my life to you right now. I want to follow you. I want to be a part of your family forever. Would you fill me with your spirit so that I have the power to live for you? Thank you for new life. I give you mine right now in Jesus' name. Amen.